welcome to Giant Swantown.
Back in Giant Swantown off the back of round five. Liam Flanagan here, Adam Curley as well. G'day, Curls.
G'day, mate. Good to be here in the hub of the AFL in Sydney.
The hub that is New South Wales. Little bit of irony in the fact that there are some people in Victoria who would love it to still just be the VFL. And sometimes decisions get made that make you feel like it's still the VFL. And yet now, couldn't be more reliant on the game in Queensland and New South Wales and Western Australia.
Melbourne's a ghost town. There's no other reason to go there really anyway apart from the footy, so they'd be struggling down there, would they?
Shots fired. Yeah, no footy in Victoria for the next month, at least the 32-day block, I believe. Hawthorn's on their way up here, Curls. Who else is about to reside in Giant Swantown?
Melbourne is the other team. Melbourne will be, I know Hawks are in Coogee. So the Coogee Bay Hotel better lock themselves away. And I'm not sure where Melbourne are. I think they might be in Manly over near my way. So both near the beach, but on opposite sides of the city, basically.
Well, the great to have the Hawks and the D's coming to reside in Giant Swantown. We won't be changing the name of the show. Time to check the sounds of the round. Let's touch in off the back of yesterday's glorious win over the Hawks. Let's see how things are sounding in GWS territory. It was a nice little return to the best of the Giants yesterday, wasn't it, Curls?
Yeah, well, it was a great song choice. I was thinking about the boys are back in town, so we're on very similar wavelengths.
Yes.
That's why this is a successful show.
Yes, Planners. Absolutely. Synergy.
Yeah, but they got tested a couple of times by the Hawks, but I just think you got those three key forwards who really started it off, and then all three managed to, I think they kicked 10 between them. So that was a great sign for the Giants.
Let's head to the SCG, the Moore Park precinct, and hear how things are sounding in Swantown. Don't want no short people. Don't want no short people around here. The poor old how tall are you, Curls?
Not tall enough.
You might be.
I'm probably wider than I am tall, so I'm probably no good to the Swannies, but yeah, they'd be running through the corridors, I reckon, checking staff members, development staff.
I mean, their CEO, Tom Harley's still got some inches on him. Charlie Gardner, their head of footy, is still a pretty tall unit.
It's a rough trot they're having. What was that, 3 or 4 years ago? They had Tippett, Naismith, Sinclair, Nankervis, I think, was still there, and they had two or three of them running around the twos each week, but now they just can't scratch themselves without one of them getting injured. So it's shocking luck.
Well, let's start with the Sydney Swans. Let's go all the way back to the first game on Saturday. They took on the West Coast Eagles at Metricon Stadium on the Gold Coast.
Picked up by Ronk. Inside forward 50, Heaney's got a break on Barris. Left foot Heaney. Swanee's got another one. They're piling into the West Coast at the moment. 2-2 to no score. He's a long way out. He'll absolutely have to flush this. Has got a good piece. Has got a real good piece. Unbelievable, Jake Waterman.
So this is for West Coast to hit the front for the first time today. Sheed, and he's got it. Now it goes deep.
Wants to have a look at it.
Barras has taken the mark of the year.
That's a good grab.
That is a ripper.
Here comes Kennedy, front and center. Allen, the snap is good. Oscar Allen's got thrice. And I believe this is the future of the joint, Fat.
Yep.
Get around him. 4 seconds left. Siren will sound. 34 points. West Coast Eagles win it.
11-11, the West Coast Eagles 77 defeated the Sydney Swans 6-7-43. Horse seems to have fixed the slow start. They came out well.
Yeah, they did. It was a great start. And I thought, maybe the Luke Parker 200-game milestones pumped them up a bit. But, yeah, it was a bad drop away, wasn't it? When you got no ruck, when you look at the other teams, Nick Natanui and a struggling midfield, who the Eagles were at the time, they would have been licking their lips and just proved to be too much. Nat Nui dominated the air, obviously, and they got smashed in the clearances and contested possessions around the footy. So played the Eagles back into some form, and the young Swans just got pushed around a bit.
The song Short People, that's the sound of the town at the moment for the Sydney Swans. Lewis Melican looks like, I believe he's going for scans today on his groin. Cal Sinclair, Sam Naismith, Buddy Franklin, Michael Knoll, Sam Reed, Tom McCutton, all unavailable, and they're blokes all above 195. They lack height, and you mentioned the dominance of Nat Nui. I actually thought the midfield for that first half at least made Nat Nui work for the hitouts. I think they started sharking him and forced him to at least change his drop zone where he was hitting the ball. But there's only so much your mosquito fleet can do. You need some tall timber around the park in places.
Yeah, it certainly gets a bit old, doesn't it? We've seen teams with, I guess, no tall forwards in the past that have done well for games here and there, but come finals time, it comes back to haunt them. And just for a whole game of senior footy these days, and Nat Nui's such an amazing athlete, it just gets too hard. And I guess the Luke Parkers and Josh Kennedys of the world just got overrun by numbers with Yo and Shuey before he got injured. It's not going to get any better anytime soon, so could be some dark times on the horizon.
It's such a young team that you never want to say, let's not worry about the result, because the result is all that matters. But let's not worry about the result for a moment. I thought that first quarter and second quarter in parts, the ball movement they showed was really encouraging. I love the way that they avoided the West Coast Eagles' tall defenders and switching sides, and the entries inside forward 50 were low and changing of angles. I thought there were some really encouraging signs for this young outfit, and I thought we saw the best of Nick Blakey that we've seen so far.
Yeah, you're right. The way they started, they moved the ball really quickly, and which is really unlike the Swans, and looked dangerous, and got those quick goals early, and we thought, oh, maybe this is going to be the way forward. You're right, Blakey was, that's the best we've seen him this year for sure. Florent was very good. They just don't have anyone forward to capitalise at the moment. Tom Papley's just getting sat on. Same with Isaac Heaney. And so it's all good to have quick ball movement, but if that gets cut off and you have to sort of rely on a big long bomb, you've got no one really there to take grabs, and it makes it really hard. So,
I mean, I'm sure Horse is pragmatic, and again, you never want to say let's not worry about the result, but I'm sure Horse and the rest of the Sydney coaching staff and the Sydney Football Club has an idea of when their next premiership opportunity realistically is. When would, if you had to put a year on it, if you had to give a start year of when the premiership window could open up again for this Sydney Swans outfit based on this current list of talent and maybe some moves in upcoming off seasons, when would you say they're a realistic shot?
I wouldn't think it's anywhere in the next two or three, at least. Obviously, things can change with, I know they've got some cash in the bank. So if they can get a big recruit or two at the end of this year, those Papley, Haywood, Ronk, Heaney, these sorts of guys are going to be 26, 27. And that's, I guess, the real hit zone. So they just need to, I don't know if Franklin's in the window anymore. So they're going to have to rely on McCartan and Blakey and these sorts of guys to bring them forward. So they definitely need some bigger recruits coming in. But I think the core group of all those young players I mentioned is really good and on the up. So I would think at least two or three years before they're pushing finals, and then probably maybe another one before they're top four. And once you get there, that you're in the premiership zone then. So at least two or three years before they're pushing up.
When do you think we're going to see these young kids? Because at the moment, Dylan Stevens, the top 10 draft pick for the Swans last year, Will Gould, who we saw in the preseason and looked ready, we're not seeing them yet. Do you have any inside word, or have you got a theory on why we haven't seen any of these first-year players as yet for the Swans?
No, it's pretty strange because over the last three or four years, John Longmore hasn't been afraid to play the kids. Florent came in, I think he played straight away. Haywood was the same. Yeah, I thought Dylan Stevens and Gould, we would have seen them already. Maybe just giving them another month after the lockdown, which is such a strange period. Maybe they're just giving them extra time after that just to make sure they're really ready. We've seen all the hamstring sort of injuries coming in. So maybe they're just got a plan around that, but I would play them straight away now if they're fit and ready to go. Throw them in. That's the best way to learn. We've seen what Florent and Heaney and Mills and these guys, the benefit they've got of playing senior footy early. So I would bring them in straight away if they're fit and if that's the way they're planning for it.
Yeah. The Will Gould, Swannies fans were hearing this, and if you didn't see him in the Marsh series, the hit on De Boer will stay with me. This is, you know, Matt De Boer from the Giants who goes head-to-head with the best on-baller every week. Will Gould, first ever time in a Swans jumper, dropped him. Just dropped him with just a straight up and down legal hip and shoulder. And Matty De Boer was sat on his backside for a fair few minutes. It took him a while to recover.
Yeah, it was a good one. When I first saw that, I sort of sat up in my chair and thought, wow, this kid's in. Round one, he'll be... I saw him up at the camp at Coffs Harbour close up, and he looked like he was 26.
I think he also might be a victim of a bit of a receding hairline. Like, I think he's got a bit of the Shannon Hearn head on him.
Well, that's unfortunate for the young kid. Even better still to get him in now while he's still got it, so he can get some good photos and videos of him in his Swans jumper. But, yeah, no, I think he's especially if you see it, if Melican's no good and doesn't get up, that's the perfect opportunity. Bring him in. Aaliyah's got to play in the ruck. Just bring him in, play him, get games into him now.
They take on Richmond next weekend, as we said, up in the Gabba, up in Queensland at the Gabba. Curls, you've got the votes for the Lamb Mumford Medallion, a.k.a. the Lamb Sausage this week, just the 3-2-1 off the back of a loss. Who did you like?
Yeah, I gave 3 to Josh Kennedy. I thought he was up against it, up against the numbers, but was really good in close again. Laid plenty of tackles and picked up plenty of the footy. 2 I gave to Ollie Florent. He didn't get as much of the footy, but he had 7 clearances. And I think he's the way forward in the midfield there with his speed, just breaks the game open, kicked a goal. And 1 I gave to Jake Lloyd, off halfback, who just keeps picking up the footy, remarkably consistent. And when the ball's coming in as much as and easy as it is when you're getting beaten, I thought he did well.
He's a consummate professional, is Jake Lloyd. They take on the Tigers, who are only half a game ahead of them in 11th position. But you'd expect they're taking on a very undermanned Tigers outfit. We don't think we'll see Tom Lynch, by the sounds of it. He's had surgery on that broken hand before racing up to get into the hub with Richmond. We know we won't see Basher Hooley and Shane Edwards. There's concerns. We're very unlikely we see Dion Prestia. Toby Nankervis is a question mark. Trent Cotchin is unlikely after a nick to the hand. So we are going to see an undermanned Richmond outfit, a real opportunity for the Swans.
Yeah, well, you couldn't get them at a better time, really. That's 6 of their probably top 10 most important players, I reckon you mentioned there. So the only problem for the Swans is that Richmond have pretty amazing depth. So you think Marlon Pickett, Sydney Stack.
Shai Bolton.
These sorts of guys are going to come straight in, whereas the Swans just don't have that sort of luxury. So there's still a lot of good players out of the team. So if they can start well and get some confidence amongst the fellas, then anything could happen.
I'm excited to see Georgie Hewett go head-to-head with Dusty Martin. It's just a perfect matchup for him because we know he can do the job around the ground, but also Dusty's trick, if he's getting tagged out of the game on ball, is he goes down and sits in the goal square. And Georgie Hewett can play that role.
Geez, he's underrated, George Hewett. Kicked the first goal on the weekend, which was an ugly floater, but he's got to take them when they come. But, he relishes those kind of contests. So, it will be interesting to see where Dusty lines up.
All right, we've got to move along to the big win that happened yesterday afternoon. The Giants defeating Hawthorn.
Long ball into the pocket to Himmelberg. Dummies around McAvoy. Takes a bounce. That's brilliant footy. Puts it through for the Giants.
He's got his second, Finlayson. That's 2 in 2 minutes. And I'll tell you what, this bloke, when his confidence is up, he's as talented as anyone for his size. He's a wonderful player.
Boundary throw in Big Mummy, was it?
Yep, out of the ruck.
Grabbed it out of the ruck. Oh, the snap from 40.
Mummy on his birthday.
Oh, look at the big man. He's got a smile on his face and they come to him in numbers.
Toby Green, long drop punt, looks good off the boot. And a 39-point lead now to the Giants. They're starting to blow this one away. A late splurge here from the Hawks. It looked very unlikely. Dunstan's going to have a shot from 50. It's a long drop punt. Oh. And it is home. Hawks 3 goals in a few minutes and 3 to Gunston. They're up and about.
They turned the corner last week against the Pies. Daisy said he liked their performance. and they've really built on that this week. And it was a pretty comprehensive win by this GWS Giants side. Don't worry about them. They've still got plenty of footy left in them in season 2020. They run out 34-point winners.
The Giants 83 defeating the Hawks 49. Good game of footy, Curls. I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it was good. Shane Mumford obviously inspired by the medallion named after him with taking out of the ruck, snapping goals. It was unbelievable. But
first goal in over 1,000 days.
That's a long time to win drinks. He doesn't get a lot of kicks, the big mummify, so no doubt he'll have that one on the highlight reel. But, they started with Harry Himmelberg in the first quarter with a big tackle and goal, and they just continued out throughout the night. Jeremy Finlayson found form, and they just had too many weapons for the Hawks, even though they got challenged a couple of times, and they did find a way to just push away whenever they got challenged. That was a good sign.
Yeah, and as you mentioned in the intro, 10 goals between the big three, Himmelberg, Finlayson and Jeremy Cameron. And that's what has been missing so far. We know they kick 150 goals between the three of them last season or thereabouts. And in these games since the season's resumed, we just haven't seen that synergy. We haven't seen those leading patterns. And then we saw it yesterday with Cameron working up the field and actually delivering inside forward 50 for Himmelberg, and Finlayson was outstanding. Now, before we keep going on this game, you have an apology to make.
You're gonna do this every week.
You have an apology to make.
You don't bring up anything I get right. You just bring up the ones that I get wrong.
Such is the power. you owe myself and you owe Heath Shaw, Lord Heath Shaw, an apology for doubting that Phil Davis would take his spot in the side.
Well, yes, I will apologise to Heath Shaw because he's a good fella, and I shouldn't have questioned his integrity. But when you see the former skipper with ice on his hammy after a game, there's no reason that he should be getting up playing the next week, but he did, and he played quite well. So well done to Phil, and well done to Heater for giving us some good mail.
Yeah, absolutely. Another milestone. Toby Green, first free kick of the year. The umpires are listening to this.
Yeah, I heard some fireworks and I wasn't sure what it was. Then I realised that it was obviously the Giants had let off a celebratory Sky show when Toby finally got one. But some good humour and good to see Toby getting looked after.
Yeah, it was good. The game overall, I thought it was that dominant Giant performance that we saw so often last year on their way to the grand final, linking up from half back, that tsunami starting with the likes of Whitfield and Haynes and Perryman rolling through the midfield, linking up with Daniels and then the kicks inside forward. Their efficiency rate inside forward 50, they lost the inside 50s, and yet their efficiency once they got it in there was scary.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I looked at the stats at one stage in the first half, and I thought that they were wrong, that Giants just had no inside 50s, but they virtually scored every time they went in. And if you're the Hawks, you're just thinking, well, this is going to break open any stage now. But and they did. So, I mean, Leon and the coaching staff wouldn't want that every week. You definitely want more ball into your forward 50 and your forwards, but it worked out this week that they were ruthless and efficient and and unbelievable. I think they only had 25 inside 50s.
Yeah.
So certainly want to work on that, but the efficiency was a real positive.
I thought that was the captain's best game since the season restarted. I thought Cornelio's been ticking along, but I thought he went up a level in the game against the Hawks. He found a lot more of the footy, and I thought he was much more damaging with his touches.
Yeah, you're right. He's just settling in, I think, as the captain. I think he might have... Hard to tell from the TV coverage, but he looked to be doing a bit of work on Mitchell in the second half and also getting the ball himself. So I think Josh Kelly had 30. So him and Keneally are back in form. Giants be rubbing their hands together.
The other lad I wanted to mention, he won't get there this week. I think the young man from Fremantle will probably pip him for it. Young from the top 10 pick at the Dockers, Hayden Young.
Yep. Hayden Young, yeah.
But Lockie Ash looks like he's ready to get a Rising Star nomination at some point. I can't see him going out of that side in a hurry.
No. Yeah, that was absolutely his best game. And I thought, even though he got pinged for running too far, third quarter, that's the reason he got picked is he just grabs it, puts it under his wing and takes the game on. And don't know for sure, but I reckon Leon Cameron would have loved that. And he would have said to him in his little review, this is what we want you to do. Keep taking on. Doesn't matter. You got pinged. Picked up a 15 disposal, I think it was, and did some good defensive work as well. So, yeah, the Giants fans should be very excited about him.
They're now only a win off the top two. All right, it's time to get to the Mumford Lamb medallion votes for this game. Double votes, and we're starting to see, Curls, I think. It's going to be very hard for a Sydney Swan player to win this award this year.
Yes, you're right. Unless they can find some form, the Swannies, I think there's going to be a lot more double votes for the Giants players. So unless they start taking votes off each other, it's going to be tough for the Swannies for sure.
All right, I'm doing the votes for this one. This was difficult. I thought there were some standout performances, but to clearly identify the best on ground was I found difficult, Kels. I've settled on three votes to Josh Kelly. I thought coming off a 30 disposal game in the type of game that needed his delivery inside 50 when you weren't getting a lot of them. So I gave three votes to Josh Kelly, which equates to six votes. I had four for Nick Haynes, despite other teammates kicking more and getting more of the footy. I thought Nick Haynes was absolutely resolute across half back. I mean, I don't know how many marks he finished with for the game. I'm looking it up as
thinking of 11.
11 marks for the game, and a lot of those were contested and intercept marks. He is just, with Jeremy Howe not playing now, he is far and away the best intercept defender in the game. And I settled on two votes for Harry Perryman, who is having an outstanding season and, for mine, would be leading the best and fairest for the Giants after round five.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. Established himself last year, and I think the confidence he got from that was carried into this year, and just keeps getting better and better. So the Giants be wrapped with the way he's going.
All right, and then they rattle along next week. They head up to the Gold Coast Metricon Stadium to take on top of the table Port Adelaide, who are coming off a bit of a bruising loss against the Lions. So Ken Hinckley will be looking to get his charges firing. It's probably game of the round, really. You got first taking on seventh. Do you see anybody squeezing their way back into that Giants outfit?
Oh, it'd be tough. I don't know who they'd leave out. Well, it depends on the injury list, of course. There's things that we might not know at this stage.
I'll give Heater a buzz after this just to find out.
Yeah, if he can give us some good mail again, that'd be great. but I don't think anyone, I couldn't see who you would take out of that team. Mm. I guess the only one I could think of would have any type of excuse or reason would maybe Mumford if he's pulled up sore or...
Cal Ward didn't play, so maybe does he force his way back in somehow?
Yeah, I guess there might be a couple of tough decisions, but, I mean, they're good decisions for Leon, so I think he'll weigh it up and see who's fit and firing towards the end of the... Because it's going to be a long, short year. it's going to be tough, and the teams are going to have to wriggle some things around and move the whiteboard markers, I reckon.
That is an absolutely brilliant way of describing this season. It's going to be a long, short year. difficult, because if Cal Ward's fit, you pick him. But as you say, who you drop off the back of that? Great to see Tommy Sheridan getting a run as well. Second game only for the club. He's struggled with injury since he's been there, the former Docker. But I thought he did his job as that defensive run with player against Scully.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised when I saw his name pop up because he has struggled with injury, and I thought Caldwell might come in. But, yeah, he was definitely brought in for a specific role. So I guess if there's no role, that sort of thing for him this week, he might struggle. Or Brent Daniels hasn't had a lot of footy. So maybe, yeah, Leon will look at one of those two. But, yeah, either way, it's going to be tough.
That is all the time we have for Giants Swantown this week. Great that the Giants keep winning, I think. Curls, I'm going to say it. I think we're in a chance for a double win. The first ever double win visit to Giants Swantown next week.
Yeah, well, that would be maybe a double episode or something, maybe. You might have to think about that.
I'll tell you what, here's what we'll do. If we get a double win next week, we'll get a guest.
Oof, a guest.
We'll get a guest.
We have a budget for that?
No, it'll be a free guest. We'll have to go and get Jezza Cameron or Toby, someone who's not struggling for cash. We'll have to get them.
Rules us out then.
There it is. A guarantee. If we have two Sydney wins next week, we will have the first ever guest on Giants Swantown. Curls, pleasure. See you next week.
Talk to you then, mate.